conclusion of the matter, the end of the matter. It's akin to number six. Number six being the sum of its factors. And number six is the number of man. And therefore, it's significant because number nine and number six, God is saying this is the end of all man's works. Man's works are coming to an end and God is going to take over his kingdom. He's going to take up his rightful place. He's going to show the men outside that their ways are foolishness and that he rules and he reigns in the earth. And I want us today to be encouraged not to look at the doom and the gloom, but to look on the bright side of life. Because we can look on the bright side of life, because if God be for us, who can be against us? Nobody. It says that in Acts, so let's have a look at John chapter 5 and verse 27. Jesus is the righteous, he's the judge, because as the Son of Man, he can judge the works of man. He can finalise it and wind it all up. It's all fulfilled in him. And in John chapter 5 and verse 27, it says, "For just as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man." He's the Son of God, but he's the Son of Man. And as the Son of Man, he takes his rightful place, and he is about to judge the works of man. Dan means judge. Dear. And the sum of the word, the Hebrew numerical value of the word Dan, its total value is 54. 9 times 6. Have you got it? 9 times 6. Andrew bought me a brain trainer for Christmas. He wasn't being cheeky, I asked for one. I decided it's time I got this grey matter stirred up. It's been quiet for too long. And it was getting downright lazy. And when you get into your 9 times table, it was these 20 little mental arithmetic things. And you do 20 and then it puts you through 100. And it puts you through all these little sums and it gets this grey matter stirring. When I was a kid, you know, my dad said to me, I was all right on learning the tables till he got to the 9 times table. And my dad said to me, right, you know, when we were kids, Dad made us a blackboard and an easel for Christmas. And we were thrilled with this blackboard and easel. And he got the blackboard and he made me write the 9 times table on it. And then he was asking me, what's 9 times 7 and all the rest of it. And I kept getting them wrong. And so he'd make me go through it again and again. And then when he thought I'd maybe got it, he said to me, now go back to that settee. And so you can't see this board. And he said, I'll shout and you can tell me what the answers are. Well, you know, we kids are cute, aren't we? I lived in the 50s. And the furniture was, it had legs on the settee and they stood about this high. And so I laid on the back, at the back of the city and I stared under it and I answered everyone perfectly. I just can't imagine how that happened, but you know. That's why I can't do my sums now. But God has a way of catching up with us, doesn't he? And it's good to submit to God's divine judgment. He knows what's best for us. You know, when you look at the natural realm, there's just so much doom and gloom. Is that it? I don't want to listen to the news, because all they want you to focus on is how many businesses have closed down, how many jobs have been lost, and which country's in trouble, and what's the economy's doing. And it is so depressing. And that's where the world's going wrong, because it's focusing on the negative. And God doesn't want us to do that. You know, they're saying, we've got recession. Currency markets are unstable. Since we joined the EEC, we've got more laws than you can shake a stick at. And yet, there's more lawlessness in the nations of the world than there's ever been. There's more corruption. You know, the rest of the EEC make laws, we keep them, well, some of them, and they don't. they think that they're above the law. You know, even in local government, and I guess it's happening in every government, they all think that because they make the laws, they're above the laws, and I can do as I please, but you'll do as you're told. And, you know, these speeding cameras, they're not about keeping you from speeding and endangering yourself and anybody else. It's all about money. I'll get your money off you when you go through this light, when you go through this camera. You know, they all have ulterior motives. It's made to look good on the surface, but underneath, it's total corruption. And we see evil being promoted as good. I'm sick of seeing stuff on telly, just excerpts of stuff, and I think, who in the right mind would ever want to watch that? Why are we promoting the gutter level as being good? And then we wonder why society is degenerating in the way it is. Good morals are promoted as being old-fashioned. Christianity is being promoted as being archaic. Totally out of the art, that is. You don't ever believe anything of that. It's just total, utter rot. We'll never get anywhere if we listen to that. We encourage multi-faith. We encourage Islam. Islam is a faith of control and manipulation. Christianity is a faith. It's the only way, it's God's way, and it's the way of freedom. We were listening to the radio as we went to work one day last week, and they were interviewing some three multimillionaires. And one of them was a gentleman he was born in China, in Guangzhou area. And he was born in very poor circumstances. And the family, his mother went to a labour camp during the day, I believe, and came home on the night, and while ever she did that, the family was okay, they were left alone. But they were absolutely, totally under communist control. And he decided if ever he was going to do anything with his life, he had to get out of China. And he escaped to Hong Kong. And there he became, over a period of time, a multimillionaire. And they said to him, you were there at the time that England controlled Hong Kong. And he said, what do you think was the greatest legacy the British ever left Hong Kong? And he said, freedom. Freedom was the greatest legacy, because freedom had brought him to the place of being a multimillionaire. It could never have happened under such control that he was under in China. You know, man's engineering fear, but God wants us. He wants us to focus on the good. He wants us to focus on freedom. Man says he's making progress, and what I've highlighted isn't progress. It's totally the opposite, but they would have you to believe that it is. But it's time for God's people to live 24/7 under the rule of God and not under the rule of man. You know, whenever God brings judgment on the ungodly, he always provides for the righteous. So don't ever be afraid. As the world gets darker, the righteous get brighter. And you know, sometimes you're faced with, like as they were last week, with Paul and this impossible situation in the natural realm, he's going to die. It was a very dark situation. But the brightness that came on Monday, when new life was breathed into his body, and he spoke, and he is now a living testimony to the power of God. You know, our God is our stability in unstable times. Isaiah 33 and verse 6. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version, Isaiah 33 and verse 6. The Lord is exalted, he dwells on high, he fills Zion with justice and righteousness. He will be the stability of your times, abundance of salvation, wisdom and knowledge. the fear of the Lord is Zion's treasure. God is our stability, and we can trust him no matter what. If we look back to when the Israelites were in Egypt, Exodus chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8, and I'm reading from verses 20 to the first part of 23. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Rise early in the morning and present yourself before Pharaoh as he goes out to the water, and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go so that they may worship me. For if you will not let my people go, I will send swarms of flies on you, your officials and your people, and into your houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be filled with swarms of flies. So also the land where they live. But on that day, I will set apart my people. I will set apart the land of Goshen where my people live, so that no swarms of flies shall be there, that you may know that I, the Lord, am in this land, and I will make a distinction between my people and your people.'" God's not including us with the unrighteous. He will always make provision for the righteous. There will always be a difference between the righteous and the unrighteous. Exodus chapter 8 and verse 9. Sorry, Exodus chapter 9 and verses 5 and 6. Chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. The Lord set a time saying, "Tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land." And on the next day the Lord did so. All the livestock of the Egyptians died, but of the livestock of the Israelites, not one died. Same chapter, verses 22 to 26. The Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand toward heaven, so that hail may fall on the whole land of Egypt, on humans and animals and all the plants of the field in the land of Egypt." Then Moses stretched out his staff toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire came down on the earth, and the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. There was... Oh, I got that one right. 26. The Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. There was hail in the fire, flashing continually in the midst of it, such heavy hail as had never fallen on all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. The hail struck down everything that was in the open field throughout all the land of Egypt, both human and animal. The hail also struck down all the plants of the field and shattered every tree in the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the Israelites were, there was no hail. That must have been a tremendous sight, you know, to see the whole land flattened, and yet where the Israelites were, where God's people were, everything was beautiful. Some beautiful lessons here. Exodus chapter 11 and verses 4 to 8. Moses said, "Thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go out for Egypt. Every firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, to the firstborn of the female slave who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the livestock. Then there will be a loud cry throughout the whole land of Egypt, such as never been or ever will be again. But not a dog shall growl at any of the Israelites." Not a dog shall growl at any of the Israelites. "Not at people, not at animals, so that you may know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel." We've got to learn to expect God's provision to be seen in our lives. And in the same chapter, verses 5 to 13, he told them to take a lamb without blemish, a year old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the month, and then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the house in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Don't eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted over the fire with its head, legs and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, your stock in your hand. You shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I'll strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. When I see the blood. This typifies Jesus, the perfect sacrifice. He shed his blood, and when we come to Jesus, his blood cleanses us from all sin and makes us righteous. And so we're accepted as God's children, and God will always, always take care of us. You know, extreme circumstances require extreme miracles. It's not a time for fear. It's a time for faith. It's a time to look at the word and keep that word in your focus. When the world wants you to focus on what's happening, God says, no, never mind that. We had an email from a friend in America. She said, I am sick and sick and tired of bad news, doom and gloom. It's time for us, for God's people, to stop looking at it. All right, that's maybe what the world says is happening. But God has a different picture for us to look at. He wants us to look at his word, his greatness. On Wednesday we were looking at the power of God and the magnitude of it. And it's just awesome when you see how mighty God is. Our problems just pale into insignificance, that we should ever think or doubt that God couldn't meet our needs. We were looking at Isaiah chapter 40. Let's have a quick look at that. I'm going to read from verse 21 to 31. Isaiah 40, verses 21 to 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. It's what we're like. Just minute in the sight of God. Who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in. Who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Man thinks he's in control, and God says, I'm going to bring his purposes to naught. I'm going to make these rulers as nothing in the earth. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely are they sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when he blows upon them. He's only going to blow on these so-called powerful men, and poof, they're gone. Such is the power of God. He blows on them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes up on high and see who created these. Who brings out the host of stars and numbers them, calling them all by name? Because he is great in strength, mighty in power, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, that your way is hidden from the Lord, and that your right is disregarded by your God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't grow faint or weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, strength to the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. If you will feed on the Word of God, if you will focus on the Word of God in troublesome times that we're going through, and let me tell you this, this is all engineered by man. Man is at the back of this. He thinks that if he wants this country to fall, he can make it fall. He thinks if he wants to promote this third world country, he can promote it. But you know, he doesn't count for God. He totally discounts God. God sees everything that he's doing. And man thinks he's so clever in engineering all of this. And he thinks he's in control. And God laughs at him. He holds him in derision. And he says, I'll blow on you and you'll be gone like that, like the dust of the wind. So great is the power of God. And let me tell you this. The kingdom of God is an everlasting kingdom. And it will fill the whole earth. Don't ever fear Islam. Don't ever fear redundancy. Don't ever fear losing your job or your business. Now is the time for God's people to stand up and say, our God reigns. Our God rules. God's in charge. Man is not. It's God's way that will be fulfilled. It's God's purposes that will be fulfilled. When I first went to work at Miller's, I'd been there a couple of years, I think, and they appointed a new company secretary. And he came into the managing director's office and he said to me, he was spouting about his own achievements, and he said to the managing director, he said what he was going to do and what he wasn't going to do. And he said, Grace, he said, go on out and get a cup of tea or I'll sack you. And I just laughed at him and I said, you didn't put me here and you won't take me out. God put me here and God will take me out. And God did take me out. But you know, men think they're so cool, don't they? They think they're so great and mighty. And he was a lovely man and we got on like house on fire, but I always told him the truth. And he respected me for it. And the MD said to him, he said, you want to listen to her? She's right. And he wasn't a Christian, but he knew, he recognised the power of God and the hand of God. And I never held back from telling him when something good happened. I'd go in and burst in on Monday morning saying, God did this. And they begin to realise, it begins to dawn, that God is here. Don't ever hesitate, don't ever hold back from telling the ungodly what's happening, you know. Because they need to hear. They need God. They need God's power at work in their lives. More than ever in these days. Isaiah 35 verses 3 to 10 is all about God's highway. Nothing is ever accidental with God, even to the verses and the numbers of the chapters where you find the verses in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 35. 3 is divine perfection and 5 is God's grace, and together they make 8, a new day. And this is all about the greatness of God, the grace of God, His perfection, and it's a new day that we can enter into and walk in. This is where God wants us to be. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of fearful heart, be strong. Don't fear. Here's your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be open, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveller, not even fools, shall go astray. You can't even go wrong on that road. You know, some of us, we accept Jesus Christ and we're the righteous, but we still get it wrong. We still do foolish things. But on this road, you can't even do that. You can't even get it wrong. Because God will right it for you. He'll make it right. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. You know, get on that road. Get on the highway of holiness. Because God walks on that road. And you can't make a mistake on that road. Even if you do make a mistake, God will make it right. He'll turn your curses into blessings. He'll turn your... When they say there's no job, God's got a job for you, Jonathan. He's got the right job in the right place and you'll find it. Because God is determined you'll get there. Your footsteps are ordained. And I know it. Amen. Psalm 18. I just want to read a few verses here because it gives you a picture of the power of God. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He's my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and so shall I be saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of perdition assailed me. The cords of hell entangled me and the snares of death confronted me. That's quite extreme. In my distress I called upon the Lord. To my God I cried for help. From his temple he heard my voice. And my cry to him reached his ears. Then the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations of the mountains quaked because he was angry. Angry that his child was in a mess. Angry that his child was under attack. Smoke went from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens. He came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew, and he came swiftly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering around him. His canopy were thick clouds, dark with water. Out of the brightness before him, there broke through his clouds hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, and he sent out his arrows, and he scattered the enemy. He flashed forth lightnings and routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. He reached down from high. He took me and he drew me out of mighty water. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. I just think that's a lovely picture. When you cry out to God, he rides the heavens, he rides the cherub, he rides the clouds, he comes down under cover of darkness, and then he just gives one almighty smack to the devil and off he goes, rolling, 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 rolling. God's no respecter of persons. What he did for David, he'll do for us. He'll do it daily, he'll do it hourly. He'll do it every time we're in a corner. Don't let the devil back you in the corner. You've got a champion who is the champion of champions. And he's for you and not against you. And he will never leave the righteous. He'll never let us be forsaken. He will always defend us. He's always there for us. There was a scripture that I read. I don't know if it was Psalm 84, but it really blessed me. It might be Psalm 84. What I'm looking for, but that is a fabulous psalm to read. In fact, all of the psalms are just fantastic. But it was something to say that God has all your, he has your destiny mapped out before you were born. And he knows exactly where he wants you, and he'll put you in the right place at the right time, and he'll work everything together for good. So don't worry about a thing. Don't give cause any mourning when things are against you. Don't even give it a thought. God's got it all in hand. He's planned the day before you ever got up. He knows what's ahead, and he's made provision for that day. And he'll meet your need, whatever it is, because he loves you with an everlasting love. He's for you. So be encouraged this afternoon. It's time for us to trust God. You know, as the world gets darker, And I hate what I see, that they're saying that it's man, that man is God, and they're discounting God. And as that happens, then we're alienated more and more. But I tell you this, don't ever be afraid, because God is for us, and he will rout the enemy, and he will make our righteousness shine like the noonday. Praise God. Amen.